I took it. I don't have a gallbladder, and I did have some indigestion, but that, you know, feeling went away after a few days of taking it. So then, you know, we headed down to the Bird Alzheimer Institute for the screening. And on the way down, I did try to remind him of the day of the week and the month and where we were headed and that kind of thing. And I had done the same thing the day before, and he hadn't done any better. And on the way down, he still couldn't remember. He could not even pull the word spring out of his hat, you know, when we talked about the season. And I reminded him over and over it was spring, and he just couldn't even remember the word. And I thought he wasn't going to do any better. And so we got down there, and they took him to another room to do the test, and he came back, and he didn't think he had done very well. Then the nurse comes in, and she says, well, I'm going to check his blood pressure. We're going to do some lab work. And I said, why? What is going on? And she said, well, didn't he tell you he got an 18 on the test?
Wonderful.
Yeah, so he had pulled a score up from 4 points the day before, and he qualified for the study.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So we were elated, and at that point, I didn't know if it was the coconut oil, just really good luck, or prayers, or what. I just didn't really know. And but I decided we're going to keep this going. And so I started giving him measured doses every day, a little over 2 tablespoons every morning for breakfast. And I got my hands on every recipe I could find and coconut cookbooks and started cooking with it the rest of the day. I thought, you know, if a little bit would help in the morning, you know, maybe throughout the day would work even better.
So are you going to baste your turkey tomorrow with coconut oil?
Probably will. A lot of things will have coconut oil in them, too. Yeah, we often substitute it for butter and other oils, you know, when we're cooking. So, yeah. But, you know, he told me many times after that that he felt like the light switch came back on in his brain the day he started coconut oil and that the fog lifted. And what we started seeing was, okay, before coconut oil, he was very sluggish in the morning. He would come, walk very slowly out from the room, very little conversation, a lot of tremor, jaw and hand, couldn't find utensils, couldn't figure out how to get the water out of the refrigerator door there, you know. And then we just started seeing him after he started coconut oil that he'd come bouncing down the hall, talkative, good, you know, making jokes, his sense of humor returned, the animation and space returned. You know, people with Alzheimer's often get kind of a dead look in their face, you know, lack of animation, that returned. And the tremor in his jaw disappeared fairly quickly and has never come back. We would see his hand tremor a little bit in the morning before he got his coconut oil, but, you know, the rest of the day we haven't really seen that too much. And he could find utensils, and he could figure out how to get the water, you know, from the refrigerator. And he just felt better. His depression lifted fairly quickly. That was, you know, something also very noticeable early on because, as he told me, he felt like he'd gotten his life back, that he had a future. Whereas, you know, when you are told you have Alzheimer's, it feels like a death sentence. You know, it's inevitable that you're going to die within a few years, you know.
Sure.
Most likely. And so he felt like he'd gotten his future back. He felt so much better. And around the fourth or fifth day, we looked at each other, and we just realized that, you know, we talked about how our lives had suddenly taken a turn for the better. And, you know, at that point, I had no idea how long this was going to last. Was this just a temporary thing? You know, what was going on? And I contacted Dr. Richard Beetz that we mentioned earlier. He is a world expert on ketones, and he's been studying them since the 1990s to figure out what they can do, you know. And he had written several hypothesis papers, articles that have been published about ketones as a potential therapy for diseases such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, Huntington's chorea, multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, you know, all of these neurodegenerative diseases, treating congestive heart failure, because the heart cells they pump more efficiently if there's ketones available to it. That's one of the other studies that he had done earlier on. You know, so all kinds of diseases that ketones could potentially treat. Traumatic brain injury is another one where the brain uses glucose very quickly after a head injury, and then certain these glucose transporters have to regenerate, and it can take several days for that to happen. And there's no fuel getting into the brain unless there's an alternative fuel like ketones around.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
So ketones could be given intravenously immediately, you know, to a soldier, to somebody who's had an auto accident. You know, all of these things have yet to be studied in people. They've been studied quite a bit in animals, you know, but in people they need to be studied.
Indeed. All righty, we are going to a 3-minute break, and we will take your phone calls at 800-313-9443. Be right back in 3 minutes. Today is Dr. Mary T. Newport. Her website is coconutketones.com. And I've actually heard of people in desperate situations using coconut water as a transfusion liquid, fluid.
World War II, by the Asian people, as an intravenous fluid, and even the Americans used it when they would run out of other IV fluids. It is very similar in content to what's in human plasma. It has a lot of vitamins, quite a bit of potassium, and apparently it can be used as an intravenous fluid. It does not have any oil in it, so but I think it's probably beneficial to people with Alzheimer's for other reasons because of all the other nutrients that are in it,
sure.
Vitamins and minerals.
Now, did you say previously that MCT can help children with seizures?
It is used now in with the ketogenic diet. It's basically a high-fat diet, and up until fairly recently, it wasn't very specific as to what fat you would use. They use a lot of heavy cream and butter and oils, you know, to achieve this. But more recently, you know, after it was recognized that the medium-chain triglycerides in coconut oil can raise ketone levels, more and more coconut oil has been incorporated into that diet, and also MCT oil, which is available over-the-counter. I didn't know that at the time, but it is. I mean, you can get it as inexpensively as $17 a quart, you know, on Amazon. There's a diet now called the MCT oil modified ketogenic diet in which 60% of the calories come from medium chain triglycerides or MCT oil. And, it allows for a little bit more carbohydrate in the diet, and it's still effective, you know, for many of the same patients, you know, that have the seizure problem, that it will help control the seizures, either completely eliminate or greatly reduce the number of seizures that they have. So it is used more and more in that particular diet these days by a lot of people. There's a pediatrician. Her name is Dr. Julie Buckley. She's on the east coast of Florida near Jupiter, Florida. And she was a traditional pediatrician until her own daughter developed regressive autism. She was, I believe, 3 years old when she very suddenly lost her language up to that point and had all kinds of severe behavioral issues, seizures, and all of that. And she put her on a diet that eliminated a lot of carbohydrate. It was basically a ketogenic diet. And that particular diet also had a lot of MCT oil in it and coconut oil. And her daughter regained 50 IQ points over about 6 months when she did this. And now her practice consists of treating many children with autism and helping them with a dietary approach to getting better.
Huh. So, and is that similar to the GAPS diet, you think?
I think it probably is. Some of the people with autism, with the children, they're avoiding dairy and gluten, grains, you know, basically they're eliminating all of that from the diet. They call it a carbohydrate-specific diet is one of the terms for it, but also eliminating gluten. There's a couple different diets for autism, but, you know, that's one of them.
Sure.
They do eliminate grains and dairy, you know, from the diet.
Sure. Now, do you use a particular brand of coconut oil?
we have used many different brands, and, you know, basically they will all produce the ketone response.
Okay.
The difference between them is how much they're processed or not. You can buy raw coconut oil that is centrifuged and basically hasn't been processed in any other way, and it's probably most likely to retain the most amount of nutrients. And then cold pressed, you'll see terms like cold pressed virgin or extra virgin coconut oil. You know, those tend to retain nutrients. There are other refined coconut oils that have the fragrance removed, and they've been potentially bleached and deodorized and that kind of thing, and they may lose some nutrients and they lose the fragrance. But there are actually some people, I love the smell of coconut oil, but some people
can't
stand it.
I do too. I love it.
Some people can't stand it. And, yeah. So, but as far as producing ketones, they're all fairly similar.
Okay.
So if that's what you're going for and you have a very limited budget, you know, refined coconut oil, it will do the same thing as far as producing ketones.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes how much per day? He takes eight tablespoons?
We slowly worked up. One thing people need to know is some people that start with two tablespoons, like Steve did, a little over two tablespoons, will have almost immediately some kind of intestinal issue, and it can be explosive diarrhea. So I advise people to start, if they have not been taking coconut oil, to start with a half to one teaspoon two or three times a day with food and just increase gradually from there to avoid that problem, because it's very discouraging. You give it to somebody who has Alzheimer's and they have diarrhea, they don't ever want to touch it again.
Oh, you know, absolutely. Right.
Yeah, too much too soon. So the easiest way to avoid that is just to start with a tiny amount and work your way up. So what we did was, Dr. Veach, after Steve improved so much, well, you'll see on my website, too, that he had clocks at 14 and 37 days, drastically improved from the clock the day before he started the coconut oil. And this intrigued Dr. Veach. He really didn't think the low levels, relatively low levels that you would get from coconut oil could actually bring about improvement, but when he saw the clocks, he was convinced that something was going on here. So he measured Steve's ketone levels after he took coconut oil, and then another occasion a couple weeks later when he took MCT oil. And what we found was that his level rose, and it peaked around 3 hours after he took the dose in the morning, and then it just kind of slowly trailed off. And then at dinner time, there was still a little bit of ketone, but we gave him another dose, and then it went up quite a bit higher in the evening then after he had the second dose. And it looked like he really needed another dose at lunchtime, too, to keep his ketone levels up.
Okay, and so you do it gradually over the day. And now the first time that you gave it to him, you gave him two tablespoons. Did he have diarrhea?
He did not. Okay. I had an upset stomach from taking the same amount.
Okay.
But there are people that tell me that take one teaspoon and they'll have diarrhea. So you just have to be a little bit careful with it and not assume that you'll be able to handle two tablespoons right off the bat.
Sure.
But Steve did. He has a gut of steel, I think. You know, he can handle that. But so basically, in the beginning, we were doing the measured dose of breakfast and then cooking with it the rest of the day. But then I started giving him measured doses at dinner and then also at lunch and then eventually before bedtime, you know, so that he was getting it four times a day. And ultimately, we worked up to the point where he was getting 11 tablespoons a day.
Oh.
Yeah, and we actually started mixing MCT oil and coconut oil together, although we sometimes would cook with just straight coconut oil. But the reason I started doing that is that what we found, you know, with the coconut oil, that the ketones hung around kind of longer duration, but with MCT oil, the peak level was higher. But the ketones were gone after 3 hours of taking a dose of MCT oil.
Okay. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Mary T. Newport. Her website is coconutketones.com. This is just really fabulous information. And I've been using coconut oil for a long time. I use it for oil pulling every morning. And so that's something that's really good to do.
Yes. Bruce Fife has written a book about that called Oil Pulling. And basically, the lauric acid, one of the medium-chain fatty acids in coconut oil, it's about half of coconut oil. It's very antimicrobial. It kills viruses, fungus,
right,
bacteria, all of that. So
right,
you put a couple
on
of
our program,
and
Dr.
work
Fife's
it around your mouth, and it kills germs, basically.
Sure. Yeah, Dr. Fife has been on our program. All right, we do have some callers, so why don't we take some questions? Let's take Rodney in Illinois. Rodney, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna and Dr. Mary.
Hi.
I'm curious, Deanna, if your guest is aware of Clint Richardson's research and article on prions and their association with Alzheimer's. And I have a question for Dr. Mary. Are you aware of an off-label use of a drug called etanercept via a paraspinal injection?
Right, yes. The etanercept, that is, it's an arthritis drug. And this has been around for, I want to say, at least 5 years or so. But well, it's injected into the neck part of the spine.
Yes.
On a weekly basis.
No.
No?
And it's one shot.
Oh, okay. Well, at that point,
it was
every week they were doing it.
Is that right? Well, according to the fellow, the doctor in Boca Raton, Florida, Tobnik,
mm-hmm,
he seems to claim a proprietary patent on that paraspinal use of that drug off-label. But his information for you and any other listeners that might want to follow up on this is found on strokebreakthrough.com. That's the complete spelling of all those words, strokebreakthrough.com. There are videos on there of a before treatment interview of a stroke patient. Also other videos of Alzheimer's patients. And in real time, they'll administer the shot, and within 10 minutes, these people have recovered an enormous range of their previously deficits. It's not a cure, but you can see for yourself within 10 minutes what this drug will do. And I'm not promoting the drug. I'm just fascinated that something can actually do this. And the research that can be found on that website directs the benefit as reducing a protein in the brain called a tumor necrosis factor alpha.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was just curious if you were aware of that. And they do say that it's only one shot with perhaps one follow-up shot for strokes, but for Alzheimer's, it's multiple shots. So let's say once a month or something like that. But anyway,
I think coconut oil sounds a lot easier. But thank you, Rodney, for your phone call.
Yeah, the prion that he's talking about, it makes sense to me, that idea. Prions are similar. They're somewhat like virus particles, or mad cow disease is an example of a prion. But Alzheimer's does start in a certain area, and it spreads throughout the brain, and it stands to reason that it could be an infectious process, you know, of some type. We mentioned herpes simplex earlier, and, the same with Parkinson's. After the Spanish flu back in the beginning of the 20th century, there was a huge increase in people who developed Parkinson's disease. And fairly recently, they've been able to show that the virus will travel from the nerves in the bowel up through the nerve fiber into the brain near the areas where Parkinson's is. this particular virus that caused so many people to have Parkinson's. So it stands to reason that an infection could be the cause, at least for some people, or at least contribute to it.
Sure.
I think that that's a very interesting concept of prions and, you know, possibly causing Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, right, exactly. All righty, let's take John in California. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, and good morning to you. You kind of answered a question, Doctor, just before the break. I was wondering about switching from coconut oil to MCT oil,
mm-hmm.
and now it seems as though I should take them both.
Yeah, some people, I've heard from over 300 people now that have reported back to me that have had some type of positive improvement. Most of them are people with Alzheimer's, some other more rare dementias, but also I've heard from about 30 people fairly recently with Parkinson's disease, and some of those people are taking straight coconut oil and having very good results, but the ones who are having the best long-term results are taking larger quantities, somewhere between 6, 8, 9, 10 tablespoons a day and consistently taking it. There's a man with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, and those people usually die within 3 to 5 years, and he's been stable now for 4 years, and he takes 9 tablespoons a day of coconut oil. Hasn't had to go the MCT oil route. I decided to do that fairly early on to try to get higher ketone levels for Steve, and then mixing it together, I felt we'd get higher peak levels and just longer duration, that it would be fairly steady over 24 hours. If you just take MCT oil, and like the Axona product, it's just one dose a day right now, although they're studying multiple doses a day. But the ketones are gone after 3 hours, and then what do you do the other 21 hours, you know? So
that's what I was looking for, was some way to maintain peak energy and stay awake, because I mm-hmm. I work a lot, and then I get sleepy, and then I'm up all night sometimes, and mm-hmm. you know, I need to manage the energy levels. The other
yeah.
question I had for you was, and thank you by covering dosing. That was my next question. But the last one was the difference between virgin coconut oil and expeller-pressed coconut oil. Do you think there's any difference between them as far as the ketones go?
No, I don't think there's any difference. And sometimes those two terms are used in the same label, whether at virgin expeller-pressed coconut oil. I don't think there's any difference in, it can't be.
Well, the difference is the flavoring, you know. There's one
yeah.
that has coconut flavor and one
right,
doesn't.
Right,
but I just,
right. But as far as the ketones go, they all seem to be fairly close, within a few percent of how much is medium-chain triglycerides.
Yeah. Now, do you think that adding the MCT oil would allow me to reduce my purchasing of coconut oil? I'm buying it by the gallon now. And
it could, because you could conceivably use less to get the same ketone effect.
Is MCT oil cost-effective mm-hmm. more so than coconut oil?
I found it as cheap as $17 a quart on Amazon. So that's pretty good. The coconut oil prices, though, if you happen to be near a Sam's or Costco, they're now carrying 54 ounces for under $16.
Well, I buy all of mine from Tropical Traditions over in Hawaii, and they just have it shipped. And you wait for shipping days, and it's very inexpensive per gallon. I think it's $40.
Yeah, I have to get it per gallon online, too.
Do you see any conflict between MCT coconut oil and taking turpentine?
No. But
okay, great.
Why would you take turpentine? Just curious.
Manage health and to take care of little baddies that are running around that I probably consume, because I don't have the best diet, and I'm trying to improve that as well.
Yeah.
I know people that take MCT oil, organic butter from grass-fed cows, and
mm-hmm.
coffee every
uh-huh.
day, and
uh-huh.
they said that really holds them the whole morning, and I think it's called bulletproof coffee.
Yeah,
what they use.
That sounds interesting. A
I
lot
think
of people
Werner
do
does
well
that.
In their coffee.
And Jan Ervin, who's been on the show before, knows a lot about that and talks quite a bit about it. He's had celiac disease and others, and then a number of doctors are saying to get off wheat because it's causing us problems all over. I want to avoid any kind of dementia or any kind of Alzheimer's stuff or any kind of nervous system-related diseases based on immune system problems. And coconut oil seems to be very efficacious, and turpentine seems to be also very efficacious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one I had not heard about before.
Well, Deanna knows all about it.
Yeah,
well, actually, Dr. Daniels and Tony Pantelaresco know about that.
Mm-hmm. They sure do. Thank you. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks.
Thank you. I'll have to look into that.
Okay, your book, Alzheimer's Disease, What If There Was a Cure, is available at Amazon. You just said Amazon. And let's go to a three-minute break. We'll be right back and talk about your book. Deanna, our guest is Dr. Mary T. Newport. She is the author of Alzheimer's Disease. What If There Was a Cure? The website is coconutketones.com. And the book is available at Amazon, either as a Kindle or as a paperback. And the reviews are absolutely fabulous. We do have a bunch more callers. So let's take some calls. Let's take Styx in Los Angeles. Welcome.
Hey, good morning, you guys. I don't know about Alzheimer's, but I wanted to ask you about colon. We have a dear friend got that colon cancer, 45, and it might have just tittered like a couple of months ago out of nowhere. And, I've got it on some herbs. She's seen a doctor, but it's so painful or to eat or, eliminate. That's when it really hurts. And then, she's going downhill. Is there anything... Do you know anything about that?
Yes. Actually, there is Dr. Thomas Seyfried. He's at Boston College, and he's collaborating with Dr. Dominic D'Agostino at University of South Florida in Tampa. And they've done quite a bit of animal research, but now they have several dozen human volunteers that are trying this. And it's basically a low, restricted calorie, ketogenic diet. Cancer cells thrive off of glucose. They need glucose. They also thrive in a low oxygen atmosphere. They cannot use ketones, as opposed to most of the other cells in your body that can use ketones. And the idea is you put somebody on a very strict ketogenic diet, and it will raise ketones so that the other cells in the body can use them, including the brain, but it lowers blood sugar quite dramatically, and it basically will starve cancer cells. And at University of South Florida, they're looking at other ways of also decreasing blood glucose to starve the tumors, and also using these ketone esters and ketone salts to raise ketone levels. And they're finding that it can shrink the cancer tumor quite dramatically. The particular cancer they're studying is glioblastoma, which is a very aggressive brain cancer, and they inject it into the abdomens of these mice. They also are looking at hyperbaric oxygen. So basically, by raising the levels of oxygen very high in this situation, that can further, kill off the cancer cells.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're gonna get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. naturesyouth.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product! It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
And they had several dozen human volunteers. Some of them had very, very dramatic responses to this. They start off by fasting to get their ketone levels up high. They continue to drink liquids and take vitamins and that kind of thing. And then when the ketones are elevated, they go on a very strict ketogenic diet. You have to do it religiously because if you screw up just for one meal, you go out of ketosis and it can take a few days to go back in it. But for example, that the first person that I know of here in our area who worked with Dr. D'Agostino, he had prostate cancer, and it had spread throughout his pelvis and his spine, and he was in a wheelchair, and he was told he had about 3 months to live. And he did this fast and then went on the diet, and he took a substance called butanediol that it's used in foods, but it raises ketone levels too. And within several weeks, when they did a PET scan, they couldn't find any sign of the metastases in his spine. And since then, they healed up, and he's up walking around. And it's been a couple of years now. So he was one of the first people that tried this. And there are several different clinical trials now just getting started around the country with the ketogenic diet and caloric restriction, they call it, for treating cancers. So it is. This does kind of tie in to that.
So basically you want to be a vegetarian and like the oxygen therapies or, you know.
Well, you want to
get a juicer, right?
Just live on that.
You need a little protein, right? Some seeds or nuts or something. That's it. And you're fine, you know.
Right.
I should talk, you know. I'm down here in the boat, and it's Thanksgiving, and, you know.
Okay. All righty. Sticks, we need to move on. We have other calls.
All right.
Thanks
you
so
guys.
Much.
You're
thank
welcome.
Thank you. All right. Marilyn in Nevada, welcome to the program.
Boy, I didn't know it'd go down so soon. By the way, for that guy with cancer, I met a very interesting medical marijuana grower that's alive at 50 because he's been chewing the medical marijuana since he was 22 when he was told that he had cancer all through his body and would not live long. He can get the medical marijuana in California, I know. But about the coconut oil, I have a friend who works for a very conscientious nutrition company, and she told the owner that she wouldn't, she's a sales rep, and she wouldn't sell it unless he sold it in glass jars because the oils, collect the plastics. But I don't know, maybe it can't be too perfect, but I've used coconut milk also. There's a coconut milk in like half-gallon milk cartons at Trader Joe's. It's the one that has it without carrageenan and the seaweed could be radiated now even, and it's not so good. But that coconut milk just lasts so long. I went away for a month this summer, and when I came back, the coconut milk was just fresh. Coconut oil will just not deteriorate. It will not detoxify. It's the best oil to cook with.
Yeah, it's very stable at room temperature. It's the shelf life is a good 2 years at room temperature, maybe even longer than that. It doesn't have to be put in the refrigerator. And if you put it in the refrigerator, you have to get a chisel out to get it out of there.
Right.
But, the plastic, they have found that the MCT oil can dissolve certain plastics. So you do have to be careful about putting it in something plastic. There was a lady who told me recently that she had put coffee and her MCT oil in a styrofoam cup, and she forgot about it. When she came back, it had, like, started eating away at the styrofoam, and I did a little experiment with that, and I put just MCT oil in the bottom of a styrofoam cup, and then I put coffee and MCT oil floating on the top in another one, and it leached through. It actually did leach through. The oil was, there was a ring of oil underneath the cup that just had the MCT oil, and the coffee and MCT oil bled through the styrofoam. So
it's
not good to put in styrofoam.
Styrofoam's probably not a good product to use anyway.
Yeah. And then the coconut milk, the ones that you can buy, like, in the half gallons, they're usually with the milk. There's a couple brands. They're really very diluted, you know. So they'll have, like, somewhere between 50 and 90 calories in 100 in one cup. And what I do, because I happen to really love coconut milk, and Steve does too, we make smoothies with it, but I get it in the can, undiluted, and then I use...
Oh, that is good.
Yeah, and then I use coconut water, and I use one can of coconut water to one can of the coconut milk, and that turns out to be right around 150 calories in 8 ounces, which is what cow's milk is, whole-fat cow's milk. And it's very, very good that way. And the coconut water adds back a lot of other vitamins, minerals, potassium, and it's very tasty. It makes it very tasty, too.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm. I do use both of those. But, there's not a lot of flavor to the coconut milk unless you get the one with vanilla flavor. But
right. It's because they dilute it so much. It's probably diluted 3 to 1, you know, 3 cans of water to 1 can of coconut milk. So,
sure.
And they can... then they can charge you a lot for it, you know. But if you make it yourself, it might be a little more cost-effective and tastier.
Right. Well, thank you, Marilyn, for your phone call. We do need to move on. We have one more caller.
Okay.
Let's take Tom quickly in Florida. Tom, are you there?
Yes. Just very quickly, I just wanted to alert everybody. I have a friend who grows spirulina commercially. And he does a lot of due diligence on different products.
Do you have a question on coconut oil?
No. There's a brand called Lou Anna. It only costs $7 for 30
okay.
ounces.
Okay. We do need to move on. Thank you, Tom, for your phone call. So, anyway, your book is Alzheimer's Disease, What If There Was a Cure? It is available on Amazon, and it is available as a Kindle or as a paperback. It looks wonderful. It's almost 500 pages, and the reviews are fabulous. So thank you so very much, Doctor, for being on the program today.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
I think we've all learned a lot. So
happy Thanksgiving,
bless you,
to everyone.
Oh, same to you. Thank you so very much.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful day tomorrow. Of our program with Dr. Mary T. Newport, who I interviewed on November 27th of 2013. And I thought that it was just a really good idea to play that, because there's so much great information in that program. And again, her book is titled Alzheimer's Disease, What If There Was a Cure? And her website is coconutketones.com. Okay, we are open for questions or comments. You may call into the program at 800-313-9443. And while we are waiting for some phone calls and some questions, I would like to share with you some of the information from Dr. Daniel C. Pott's book, and that is Finding Joy in Alzheimer's, New Hope for Caregivers. His co-author is Marie Marley, and her website is comebackearlytoday.com, and Dr. Pott's website is danielcpotts.wordpress.com. Now, in part two of their book, they gave tips for interacting with people who have Alzheimer's. And this is something that I think is just absolutely really important. Many people just do not know how to interact with or entertain people who have Alzheimer's, because it's something relatively new. It's something that we do not normally expect to have a situation. And so there are tips that will help us to interact with our spouses or mothers or fathers or other relatives who have Alzheimer's, and it will improve the quality of our relationship, whether they are living in our home or whether we visit them at a facility. Now, these tips are organized into four groups. There's the nonverbal, verbal things to do, such as art, music, poetry, movement, pets, children, and props, and other tips. Now, some of the nonverbal tips: make eye contact. Always approach people with Alzheimer's face to face and make eye contact. It is vital that they see you. Otherwise, they may not realize you're there or that you're talking to them. So, in other words, if they are sitting in a chair and you're standing up, it's important that you get down to their level. Be at their level. Move your head to be at the same level as theirs. You may need to kneel or sit down to accomplish this. Do not stand or hover over them. It may feel very intimidating to them. That was one and two. Number three, don't talk to them from behind. This goes along with the tip number one. You can't make eye contact if you are behind them. And in addition, if you're behind them, they may not be able to hear or understand you. Additionally, it could startle a person into having a violent reaction. Number four, smile frequently. Smile if you're telling a humorous story or your loved one is telling you one. Also, smile if one of you is talking about something pleasant. Research has shown that smiling at a person can cause that person to feel better and smile back. Number five, don't make sudden movements. If you make sudden movements, it can scare a person with Alzheimer's. For example, move slowly when you are getting up from your chair to leave. Number six, shake hands. Consider shaking hands at the beginning of each visit, and that's if in case you're visiting them at a facility. This is one form of therapeutic touch. Put your hand out to see if the person you're visiting grasps it. If not, then you can lower your hand and forget about it. Number seven, use visual cues. Point to, touch, or hand your loved one the item you want him to use. For example, if you want him to sit down, point to the chair and sit down yourself. Number eight, do not sit with your arms crossed. And this is applicable to just about any situation, but I think more applicable to when you're interacting with somebody with Alzheimer's. This advice really is important for anybody. This pose tends to convey anger and or a closed mind. Number nine, sit with your palms turned upward. This pose says, I am receptive to you. Number 10, use therapeutic touch. Try hugging the person, kissing him on the cheek, giving him a gentle shoulder massage, holding hands, or putting your arm around him. Number 11, take a blanket, quilt, or shawl. Wrapping up in a blanket or shawl may be especially appealing to people in the later stages of Alzheimer's. Number 12, laugh a lot. Sometimes laughing or laughter is the best medicine. It will lift the mood of both the person with Alzheimer's and you. So be sure you arrive for visits with a supply of simple jokes or funny stories, whether it's relative to their life or to your life. Think of some funny things, something that will bring joy to the person that you are visiting. Okay, the next section is on verbal tips. Excuse me. On verbal tips, number 13, say what you are going to do before you do it. This is particularly important if you are going to touch someone so they don't think you are grabbing them. I think that's important. Speak slowly. Speak at about half your normal speed. Take a breath between each sentence. Give the person a chance to catch up with your words. Otherwise, your words may be received as blurry noise with no clear meaning. Number 15, don't be condescending. Don't talk to people with Alzheimer's as though they're children. It's easy to baby talk to a person who has Alzheimer's, but if he does not understand you when you talk in a normal tone of voice, he probably won't comprehend the baby talk either. Furthermore, this can feel very degrading to a person with the disease and may cause him to feel bad. Number 16, speak in short sentences. Speak in short, direct sentences with only one idea to each sentence. Usually, people with Alzheimer's can only focus on one idea at a time. If you speak in long sentences, they may not be able to follow you, and they may just give up trying to talk with you at all. Number 17, ask only one question at a time. Let the person answer the question before you ask another. If you ask two or more questions at a time, he probably won't be able to remember them all. Again, the person may just give up trying to converse. Number 18, and this is very important, don't ask, do you remember? Many times people with Alzheimer's will not be able to remember, and you are just pointing out their shortcomings. That may be perceived as insulting and can cause them to feel anger and or embarrassment. For example, instead of saying, "Do you remember that we played checkers the last time that I visited?" say, "We played checkers the last time I was here and it was fun." Number 19, turn negatives into positives. For example, say, "Let's laugh," instead of saying, "Don't be so serious," or "Let's do this," instead of saying, "Don't do that." Number 20, we're going to a short break here in just a moment. Number 20, validate feelings. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Welcome back. I'm just sharing some information from Dr. Pott's book. His co-author was or is Marie Marley. Her website is comebackearlytoday.com, and Dr. Potts' website is danielcpotts.wordpress.com, and their book is Finding Joy in Alzheimer's, New Hope for Caregivers. And I'm on number 20, Validating Feelings. Don't try to convince people with Alzheimer's that they shouldn't be feeling a certain way, especially if they are sad or upset about something. It's tempting to try to convince them they should not be upset. but it's better to say something such as, I see that you are angry, sad, upset, etc. Tell me about it. Be empathetic. Let them talk about their feelings. After that, say something reassuring. Then change the subject to something pleasant. Number 21, talk about old times more than recent ones. The person is more likely to remember events from his distant past, so you might ask him to tell you about his high school or college days. Then try to tie the positive reminiscence to the present. For example, you have told me that you love the biscuits your mother used to make for you when you were a child. I have heard they have wonderful biscuits here as well, and that's if you're visiting them in a facility. And you can say, I can't wait to try them with you. This can anchor the pleasant memories in the present moment, fostering a positive emotional tone and validating the person with dementia in his current state of being. Number 22, what to do when someone keeps repeating the same question. This is a tough one. Answer the question patiently as though it is the first time they have asked it, because for them, it is. They can't remember. They already asked the question. This will require patience on your part, but will be worth the effort. After answering the question, you can try to redirect the conversation, but it may not work. But the real issue here is to exercise patience and don't say, well, I just told you. No, don't do that. That will only create anger, and it's not good for either person. Not good for the person with the issue, and not good for the caregiver. Number 23, what to do when somebody keeps repeating the same story. Respond as though it's the first time they told you the story. They can't remember they just told it to you. This will have the same positive consequences as following tip number 22. Also, as with tip number 22, you can try to redirect the conversation after they are finished telling the story. Number 24, if the person starts getting agitated, stop what you're talking about. If you quickly change the subject, he will probably forget all about the previous upsetting topic. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope this helps some of us, all of us, many of us. Bye-bye. Talk with you next week. Take care.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.